the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's nice to have more people back. It felt like 2020 last week. 12 people here for the service. So it's good to see your beautiful faces back here again today, so many of you. Thank God you were able to survive the weather and be with us today. I want to speak today in large part because these feasts all go together. The Feast of the Nativity of Christ, the Feast of Christmas, as well as the Feast of Theophany, and also because of the weather, we just had poor attendance at the services, and so I didn't preach much on these occasions other than the Feast of Christmas. In the early church, the Feast of the Birth of Christ and the Feast of Theophany were just one feast that were combined together. It was much later that we separated. It's a surprise to us today in the West, where Christmas has been so commercialized, that the Feast of Christmas was not really that big of a deal to the early Christians. It was the Feast of Theophany, which was not just the baptism of Christ. That wasn't why it was important, the only reason why it was important, but because it was the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. And what I want to focus on this morning is the beginning of this ministry and what that means to us. In other words, how the scriptures have been given to us because of Jesus' teaching, how they have recorded for us Jesus' teaching and its importance, its centrality in the life of the church and in the life of us as Christians. Now, you might have noticed, if you heard the readings during the time of Christmas and here at Theophany, both on Christmas, the Sunday after Christmas, the Feast of Theophany itself, the Sunday before Theophany, which was last Sunday, and then today, there were several places mentioned. We heard about Egypt, the famous flight to Egypt, as it's often referred to, where Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Egypt to get away from persecution and the murder of the innocents. We also then heard about Jesus going and his family going and settling in Nazareth, which was a dumpy town, by the way. It was a place that people didn't really respect. We heard about Jesus going out into the wilderness to be baptized by John. We heard today about Jesus going and settling in and preaching in the area of the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali. In other words, as it said there in Scripture, Galilee of the nations, Galilee of the Gentiles. But we didn't hear anything mentioned in these readings. Ask yourselves, what didn't we hear that you might expect to hear when we think about Christianity? We didn't hear anything about Jerusalem. Nothing was mentioned at all about Jerusalem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, outside of Jerusalem. It's called the House of Bread, is what it means, Bethlehem. Jesus, of course, being for us the bread of life. He was born in Bethlehem. His family fled to Egypt. They ended up settling in Nazareth, this dumpy town. He was out preaching in the land of the Gentiles, the former area of the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali. And there's nothing about Jerusalem. Why is that? Well, as we heard in several of these readings, it has to do with, part of it is fulfilling the prophecy. But why did God work that way? I mean, the prophets are just prophesying what God was going to do through his Messiah. Why was it that Jesus didn't come from Jerusalem and wasn't attached to Jerusalem at all? The so-called holy city, the holy land. Why didn't we hear anything? You know, we'll see as we go forward now into Great Lent, which will be here before we know it, and especially when we get to Holy Week, we'll see what happens, continuing on this theme. Jesus never resides in Jerusalem. Listen during Holy Week. We begin Holy Week, of course, with the healing of, or excuse me, not the healing, the raising up of Lazarus. Where? In Bethany, the house of the poor. That's where Jesus began Holy Week. And did he go to Jerusalem? Yes, he went to Jerusalem. Why? He went to Jerusalem to preach to them his message of repentance, to preach to them the gospel. And then he leaves Jerusalem and he resides outside of Jerusalem during Holy Week every single night. Why is that? Because what the Scripture is teaching us is that holiness and the way of God doesn't come from Jerusalem. It comes from above. It comes from the heavenly city. From the Jerusalem from above, as we hear about in the end of the book of Revelation. And it comes to Jerusalem. Not from there, but to Jerusalem. Telling the people of Jerusalem to repent. And that's where it begins. And from there, he goes out and preaches, and Paul goes out and preaches to all the nations. But the Scriptures are making it very clear, brothers and sisters, that the message does not come from Jerusalem or from any city in this world. It comes to us, for us to hear. It comes, hopefully, through us, for others to hear, but never from us. It comes from God. This is important for us, not just because of geopolitical situations where people are killing one another and committing genocide over some so-called holy land, when Scripture is teaching us that anywhere we live can become a holy land. Even, believe it or not, Wichita, Kansas. It's not mentioned in the Bible, but it can become a holy land if we make it holy. But what we need to understand as well, brothers and sisters, because we have this misconception out there, especially among what I call internet orthodoxy, a lot of experts out there on the web. One of my favorites, you know, going back to COVID that I mentioned at the beginning. So forget what any of the doctors say. What does Karen on Facebook have to say? No, it's internet orthodoxy is the same way. Forget about what the clergy and people that are trained have to say. You know, just let's see what this random person in the comment section wants to teach us. Okay, but at the same time, we have to be careful because the clergy, the priests, the bishops, the deacons, all of us are also under Scripture. You know, we have people who tell us today that Scripture came from the church. I mean, are you kidding? You think the Galatians agreed with Paul when he called them fools? They put their stamp on that and that's where we get Scripture? No, Scripture comes from above through mostly St. Paul. And it comes to the church. And hopefully through the church to the nations. But there's a big difference. And it's an important difference that we have to understand. Because we have to understand that we submit to the Holy Scriptures. And that's why in our church, when a bishop is consecrated, he's placed under the book of the Gospels. This book that I read from, that you see back here standing, is opened up and put above his head. Why? To show that he's under the teaching of the church. And it becomes a very dangerous game when we start to think otherwise. And when we start to think that the church has somehow got a separate authority outside of Scripture, in addition to Scripture, rather than the Scriptures coming to us and being proclaimed to us each and every Sunday as the priest or deacon does, and through us to the world. Because then we make up our own rules. And then it becomes, you know, this bishop said that, or this priest said that, and we do our own things in our own communities, our own things at some certain point of time in Christianity, and we have ultimately no authority. But in the life of the church, we are always called back to the scriptural teaching, and the arguments that we have at the councils and amongst ourselves ultimately come back to what does Scripture teach us, what is the best way we can be authentic to the Holy Scriptures. And again, brothers and sisters, we see that here in the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. The authority does not come where the Jews think that it would come from, out of Jerusalem. from the Jerusalem leadership, from the people, people who ran the temple, the clergy who ran the temple. It doesn't come from them, it comes from God, through them. And they have the choice to repent or to continue to go their way. And either way, God's message will continue, as it did through the Holy Apostle Paul to the nations. And we have the same choice. The message comes to us. Will we repent? Or will we go our own way? But any way that we have it, God's message will still continue. I want to conclude by pointing out that we see, especially this in the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus begins his public preaching in Galilee. And he tells his disciples, after he has been crucified and rose again from the dead, he tells them, "Go back to Galilee, there you will see me." Well, we can't say this is historical, because what happened? We hear in the book of Acts that the disciples stayed in Jerusalem and they were endued with power from on high, the reception of the Holy Spirit. So people who take the Bible very literally, including some scholars, will say, "Aha! You see, there's a contradiction. The Bible should be discarded. You know, it's just something that's made up by men. Here it says to go to Galilee, here they stayed in Jerusalem. You can't have it both ways." But no, what the Bible is teaching us is to go back and reread. Mark is telling us, when you get to the end and you see the resurrection, go back to the beginning and hear the preaching again and keep reading the gospel again, because you didn't get it the first time. And that's why we keep proclaiming it again and again, and people keep coming up to me to confession and confessing their sins, because we didn't quite get it yet. So we hope, as we go throughout life, that by the end we'll get the message. But that's why Jesus tells his disciples to go back to Galilee and Mark, even though they literally, physically stayed in Jerusalem, is go back and listen to the preaching again. Because listen, look at the disciples in the story. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. They all forsook him. So brothers and sisters, today as we finish up our celebration of Christmas and Theophany, let us remember the central role that the Scriptures hold for us in the church. Let us continue to read them. I like the language that's used in the service of the consecration of a reader. It tells them to continually and to daily peruse the Scriptures. So let us peruse the Scriptures daily. Let us continue to learn. Let us continue to be directed by them, that we may follow Jesus' teaching and enter ultimately into his heavenly kingdom. To him be all glory, honor, and worship, together with the Father and Holy Spirit, unto the ages of ages. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us, the faithful, pray for the catechumens, that the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord, have mercy.
And he will teach them the word.